Hello and welcome back to the Andrew Haynes Show. In today's episode, Andrew sat down with Brendan Trey Lease, the premium sales manager for the Orlando Magic. In 2013, Brendan graduated from UMass Amherst with a degree in marketing and sports management and immediately jumped into a role working for the Memphis Grizzlies. Since then, he has held several roles at Learfield Sports, Los Angeles FC, and most recently as a premium sales manager for the Orlando Magic, where he is today. In the show, they discuss the three things to keep in mind while selling during COVID-19, as well as some of the strategy behind getting people to buy tickets right now. We hope you enjoy.
All right, we're back for another show. I've got Brendan Trelease with me from the Orlando Magic. He is premium sales manager. I met him probably last year, actually, when I was looking to get some season tickets for the Magic right before I moved up to Virginia. So looking forward to connecting with him, hearing his story. He told me a little bit about it out at the arena that night.
Never got that deal done, Andrew.
No, I mean, come on, man. No, you got to be closing, on that man. Signature. What's going on? I'm a tough sell. So, but no, I thought you did very well. My wife and I were critiquing you. We were like, oh, this kid's good. We like him.
I appreciate it.
So
it was fun. It was a fun sale. That was a fun night. That's the great part about doing what I do. You know, like you're selling at a game, you know, you guys, I was having a good time, just trying to see what would work on you and, you know, swung and a miss a couple times, but I'll be back to the plate. That's for sure.
So the event was basically you invited, I'm thinking it was business people, because I forget how I got connected. I probably filled out some form online at some point and lead, but it was like a small group of people, maybe 20 or 30 people, mm-hmm. I think, that were invited out, a little reception, met with you, and then was it Michael Ford or –
Michael Ford was out,
had a little speech, got a tour of the premium options. And I know we really enjoy I don't know if it's still called that, but the Chase Club.
It's called the Legends Lounge.
It's a great spot.
Actually the name, sorry, but Legends Suite.
Yeah, no, a great spot. And, you know, I know we'll definitely, every time we go, those are the seats that we like to get, obviously. I want to get them and secure them for the same seats all the time.
Right.
But no, we had a chance to meet then. And you were telling me a little bit about how you, you know, have navigated across the country with your career and everything else. So why don't you walk us through kind of your journey to where you're at now?
Yeah. And I'd love to, you know, touch on the process there too. I think you hit it on the head as well. But my journey, I'm from Western Massachusetts. It's the Springfield area, kind of the cow country that everybody forgets about. That's Boston. No, I'm not from Boston, but I am from Massachusetts. So
there's another part besides Boston,
right? Not really. it's there's land there, but there's not many people, but I went to UMass, which is right in that Pioneer Valley. And it was just so happened to be a really good sport management school. And I love sports, but I was just a terrible athlete, you know, short, unathletic, you know, just like, you know, we, you know, pretty, but I love sports, loved, you know, statistics, and thought, why not? I wanted to go into business school, but this could be a way to do it. Something you're passionate about. So jumped head first into that. Didn't think anything of it and ended up getting in and really didn't think I had gotten into the sport management program. Thought I was going in for marketing and then jumped first in and just loved it. First day of class, I tell you, you know, who wants to be a GM? Everybody raised their hand and, you know, I'm sitting there like, oh, me too. And they're like, no, GMs. And I'm like, good one. So long story short, you know, did UMass until, you know, sales became the clear option. My dad's in sales. My grandpa was in sales. It's in my blood. You know, I get the gab, as my grandma used to say. So, you know, I could talk for hours. So figured it was a good fit. And I said the easiest way to get in is ticket sales. And, you know, that's where the bulk of the organization is. So, and I was like, great, let me in. So I worked for a D League team before it was the G League, the Springfield Armor, as an internship. And then I work in no pay, commission on like $400 deals, you know, and selling four game packs, you know, in a cubicle with three other guys. So one cubicle, three guys. So it was nice. Fun. And, you know, it was a long summer and go there and then, you know, ended up doing one of those sales combines that they do for the league for ticket sales and getting into a bunch of interviews with all the major pro teams through a sales class at UMass through Dr. Lakowitz, Anthony Lakowitz, who set that up, really put a program in place for salespeople to learn how to get into the industry, which not a lot of schools do. They're really focused on the marketing and the, you know, the brand management side of it and not really pushing kids into ticket sales where a lot of people end up. So we had a great program where almost, you know, I think 30% of the class, that one class got jobs at, with pro teams like at that.
Wow. What is the academy? I've heard about that before.
So. It was just an MBA sales combine. They did it. It was a league
function. Like a weekend or?
Yeah, I think it was a weekend. Yeah. And it was in Cleveland. I don't know if they still do it, obviously not now, but it was, you would sign up, you'd pay, you'd stay in a hotel, and then you'd interview with teams and they'd attach it to league sales meetings. So they'd have directors and inside sales managers there for trainings. And then they would have breakout sessions with college students to interview them. And it was like the perfect opportunity for me because they had loaded us up with all the, you know, the right things to say. You know, it's not about wanting to meet your favorite player. It's about tickets and build a career. And, you know, long story short, I had a bunch of interviews and, you know, got like 5-6 job offers. And it was a crazy weekend and ended up meeting Mike Brown, who's now with the Columbus Crew. Who was my inside sales manager with the Grizzlies. And he just, you know, I loved his approach and his style. And so I went there and just had a good time working with a great inside sales crew there. Got promoted to an AE after working for Mike. Got promoted with me. So I worked for Mike again right there, which is awesome. And then ended up moving out to a sponsorship role with Learfield back at UMass at home. Was looking for a change of scenery. And then definitely, you know, enjoyed my time with Learfield, but wanted to go elsewhere and heard about this project through Mike Brown from the Grizzlies. He wasn't at it, but in LA with the LAFC, the Los Angeles Football Club, and they're building this new stadium. And, you know, I was home living with my parents and I was like, I got to get out of here. Like, and so yeah. I jumped out and moved to LA and helped them, you know, build that, not help them build it. I can't put together a chair, but helped them sell the stadium, which was a beautiful $350 million soccer-specific stadium in downtown Los Angeles, which was just like the coolest experience. And then we sold out. You know, obviously everybody's patting themselves on the back, but you know, now we got no work to
do. Right. So now you're gone.
Now we're gone. So Corey Breton and that great leadership team up over there worked under Cam Florence, who's now the VP with the Wizards in DC. And Cam and Spencer Ambrosius and some other great people there, all are in great leadership roles now, but that was a great team. And they helped me connect with Randy Wills out in Orlando, who was my former director here. And it was a great fit for me and, you know, my fiance. And so here we are in Orlando and now working with Chuck Lichty and a great team here. So that's my story in a nutshell.
What was it like kind of going out to LA? I mean, cause you know, really that's a whole nother world almost.
Yeah, it was cool, man. You know, I'd done the Memphis thing right out of college. So, you know, pack a bag, you know, me and my dad drive. So I'd been through that and, you know, I was kind of stuck in a role where I was home and, you know, wanted to go somewhere. And it just seemed like such a unique opportunity. You know, you don't hear about teams being created from nothing. And obviously you do hear about it now more than ever, you know, the Golden Knights and whatnot, teams like that. LAFC was one of the first to do that. And I didn't really think about that opportunity until it really came in my lap and was like, hey, I want to look at this. And I was like, sure. I'm like, I can't even play. Like, but yeah, I'll come. And it was a bunch of NBA guys on the ticket side. So going out there was comfortable. It was an environment I was used to. It was competitive. And I just, you know, got out to LA and bright light, big city, but as you can probably tell, I'm not bright light, big city kind of guy. So I just kind of worked, but it was such a fun place. Just being able to go to 8 different sporting events on any given night, depending on the season, like you get all these stadiums and things to do. So working there was great. Peter Guber was the owner who owns the Warriors. And it's just like such an influential person in that community. And he, you know, was in our office every day, you know, asking to use our chargers for our laptops and stuff. You know, it was like a startup with like people who are just like, you know, power.
Yeah.
It was just fun. And, you know, I wouldn't say low on the totem pole, but I certainly felt that way. But I was just happy to be there. And it worked my butt off, you know, making 80 to 100 calls a day, you know, with no games to work. We had just all the time in the world to just grind and prospect and, you know, fun. I had a great time.
That through like Legends or was that through the team?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Legends project. So technically we worked for LAFC, but Legends operated it and they had their offices out in, Culver City. And so we got to go out there and they had like a speakeasy at the office and stuff. So it was a great culture, a great environment, a lot of great memories, a lot of great people. And most of them, I'm still on the West Coast. Remember not to text them too early or, remind them not to call me too late. But, it's a very special piece of my time in Legends with a well-oiled machine. Like, they had everything down to a science.
And
the suite process was, so formal and it was all virtual. And God, just so much experience there that made me realize how important that is. You know, now looking back on it, like we had the ability to pitch from a phone call, a full presentation, like we were in the arena or the stadium at that point. And now looking back, we are working our way towards that, what all these teams are, but they, we had it and, we were able to do that. So I think that's the model and they did a really good job of preparing the reps and training. And then when they launched, it had this awesome momentum. Marketing was there. I mean, they had just a great brand, great team in all the areas they needed it. And they almost won the MLS Cup in their second season. So they've done a great job in every category. And I was just lucky to be a part of that. Can't even name a major soccer player, like outside of the ones you hear on, TV.
Right.
Like, it's like, I went in there now, I'm like wearing like, I got like 8 soccer jerseys in my closet until Friday. So, just now I'm a fan of the game and, it was a great experience.
Well, it's fun when you're part of it from like, almost when it's just dirt, all the way through to see, the progression and.
We got to tear down the original stadium. So it was the sports arena.
Oh, wow.
I think John Kennedy's initial Democratic convention was there. So like, there's a lot of history in that building.
And, right.
Bruce Springsteen played it like every year and loved the place. So, and then we got to ceremonially, and then build it up into a new stadium right in the heart of Los Angeles. It was so cool.
It looks cool. I mean, I haven't been there, but just like TV photos, videos. I mean, it looks like a great facility.
It's special, man. And I think it's it's definitely underlooked because it's the MLS and, but that's the, Seattle does a great job. Portland does a great job. There's some great franchises, but what LAFC doing, I think, is very different and it should be the model for the future. And people on the East Coast and whatnot, it's probably something you don't see, but check out the stadium, look at the renderings, check out the club spaces. I mean, it's NBA, NFL quality amenities and game experience in an MLS package with MLS pricing. It's just fantastic.
Did you solely sell just premium, like suites, club, or was there other offerings that you guys had as well that you sold?
Yeah, we did the standard deposits. We were in a 2-year pretty much launch pad selling phase. So it was pretty much just taking deposits for a good year and a half. So we could take standard deposits, but my focus was solely in premium deposits, as we ended up calling them, and then suite rent or suite leases. So I was able to close a couple suites and a bunch of other premium products, but then eventually when we did a phased approach, so we went big products down. So I was able to knock out some good revenue early on. And then when that was all behind me, look around and say, all right, what's that? What else is out here? And go sell some smaller packages, meet with families, do the stuff I grew up doing and still enjoy doing, outside of those high pressure business conversations. So it was the best of both worlds in that regard.
How was it out there was there a lot of inbound or was it pretty much solely like you out there hunting for everything?
I think it was a little bit of both. I think with suites, there was very little inbound. I had no inbound, opportunities for suites. But with regards to regular deposits and whatnot, they did a very good job with digital. So they get a lot of deposits online from people just being kind of blown away by the renderings or excited about it from, a podcast. Soccer's very niche, they hear in ways and then they, they're already ready to go before you even call them, So, and so you pick up the phone, you have an opportunity and it's just about how you maximize it. Where with the suites, it was, we're calling companies that are used to Lakers,
Right, exactly.
They're big price tags, but they're like, who are you? And why pretending you're, you know, needing to be in my sports Rolodex. And we had to really make that case to people who really didn't care about soccer. So that was, I felt like that was my, I guess, my point of being there. And I really felt a sense of purpose trying to reach out to people who didn't enjoy soccer and show them like, hey, I will move my whole life across the country because this is just so cool. Like, I promise you, this is, and obviously, you know, beg them, but, you know, I could show them and I could bridge that gap. And, you know, I was able to bring some companies you would never expect, like, you know, some big, you know, oil company and some real estate, you know, some things that people who were, who would have put a deposit down and would, we wouldn't have got to them. But we did have to inbound, like any other place, I'd say, with how good our marketing and digital was, we got a great pool of leads to just go at on a regular basis, which I think for me was a, you know, my goal of being a leader someday is eye-opening, you know, just kind of making sure that all those areas are together and working in concert.
Yeah, that's, I was just talking to somebody about that yesterday. Is, I mean, marketing and sales need to be on the same page. Sure. Because yeah, it can make those inbound leads come in. It can really help facilitate a lot that the sales team needs. So, but unfortunately, it's not like that everywhere.
No, and I've been fortunate to work for some good organizations in that regard. And not to say LAFC does it better, but, you know, Memphis, Orlando, you know, they've all, you know, done a great job. And I think more focus on that for all these teams is healthy. And I think LAFC probably did it as well, but put more emphasis in it in a way that I was like, okay, the way that it all worked together was great, but yeah, it was a smaller room, easier to do. So, you know, sometimes that helps.
What kind of stuff did you do as far as prospecting or like process, like what worked for you out in LA?
That's a good question. Cause we didn't, here in Orlando, we are just on the teeth with, tools like Zoom Info and just stuff to just get right in. And I didn't have that in LA. We were very, at first we didn't have a budget for ticket sales. Cause I mean, we just didn't have any, we were a startup. We were coming from nothing. So, we didn't have, you know, the resources. I had Navigator, Sales Navigator, shout out to LinkedIn, on my own, but, I use Google Maps. I really found a way to just kind of hack it, if you will. And I use the satellite view and I look for industrial parks or, you know, complexes that look like, business to business places that aren't brick and mortar storefront type places that, you know, machine shops, like, you know, places you would never, you know, expect with, you know, good old boys who are typically doing business and grabbing tickets. Like that was my jam in Memphis. And then I took that to LA, but I was able to find some home run sales. Just
it's like looking like
one of these, you know, old explorers or something like that, trying to find like companies on a map. So, but it works.
No, well, and the type of businesses you were talking about with like more industrial or the B2B, they typically get hit up less too from everybody about everything. And I've always, this goes way back. I just remember, you know, I had this deal done. It was actually all by phone and I go out to the business to, you know, meet them. And I'll be honest, I would have never went out there otherwise. And so I always tell my sales reps now, like, look, everybody knows the low hanging fruit. Everyone knows, okay, if you're in the Southeast, you're going to call Publix. You're going to, you know, it's like everybody does that. Everybody knows that, but find these other companies that nobody's even heard of that are making millions of dollars and their warehouse might look like it's about to fall down, but they have a very solid business and they like to take care of their people. And, it's such an area that's, you know, not utilized a lot. So I think I remember you telling me about that when I was out at the game and I was like, that's exactly, even your coworkers probably haven't thought of that before or a lot of them using that specific niche. So
I agree. Yeah. Some of them are, you know, that's something that you pick up in a market like Memphis when, you know, when I was getting there, I was like, I got to make a B2B push here and, you know, I got to carve out some here. But all the big, you know, international paper, FedEx, they're already in, you know, they got their own custom suites and stuff. So, and there's not a lot of Fortune 500s, you know, setting up shop or moving to Memphis, Tennessee. Right. We great city. It's where my fiance is from. But you know,
and is that where you guys met?
That's where we met. Yeah, that's
okay. And she's followed you along, man.
I'm very lucky. So
I got one of those too. So take care of her.
Yes. I need to for sure. So, but we were blessed. So where was I? I just lost my point there.
Just about the B2B in Memphis and
yeah, just going for companies that or they see the website and they're like, you know. And then you find out that this is a major electrical supply company that, you know, has never been approached and has thought about this for years, but just never, you know, never had that urge to reach out, you know. And you get an email, you know, worked the chambers, created relationships with people who gave me access to certain like promotional events and whatnot, was able to capture information. People ended up buying tickets just kind of the old fashioned way. And then I started expanding that. So yeah. And then moving to LA was pretty thought that way, because it's a big market and you have like, you know, all these companies. And I think just the smaller, more of the blue collar companies, the ones that, you know, I remember the paper company that, and there's another one, there's a trash company and they're in the smaller industrial areas that just, they look like just one in a million companies. And you go to the websites and they're just, I mean, you see the bottom, they don't even have an update since like 2012, 2013. Like,
right.
He's still in business. Like typically they have to update that stuff. And you call them and they're just like, you know, 2-3 calls in a meeting and a close. Like, you're just like, man, I'm glad I made that call. Like, I'm glad I didn't just brush over that lead. So, and I, you know, pushed it on the younger reps there and, you know, stuck in with some and, you know, but it's such a big market. You can do that and scale that. But in these smaller markets, it's definitely tougher because a lot of these companies, there's been a lot of reps like me early on in Memphis who are desperate looking for anything. So, you know, a lot of these companies have been added to the system, but you're still able to do it anywhere you go. And even in Orlando, I'm coming across new companies every day. And I don't use Google Maps as much just because of Zoom Info and how powerful that tool is. But
talk to me about that. What is Zoom Info? I looked at it.
I'm not sponsored by them or endorsing them. No. Cool. So I know we're talking about Zoom Info, but yeah, so that's a great tool. You can let a company name or a contact name for local businesses, and it most of the time has their either their direct line or at least the HQ line and an email. And it's the best tool for what my old manager Mike Brown used to call sniping. It's like if you're looking for a direct call to the decision maker, just trying to get right to the source. Like, I mean, that tool just can cut through so much red tape and eliminate the gatekeeper dance. And, you know, people are getting, I mean, I've been asked probably 8 to 12 times in the last 6 months, how did you get my cell phone number? Like by a CEO. And it's like, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I'm just armed with a tool that has it. Like, I'm sorry. Like I'm not personal information. I promise. Like, so it's a great tool and it can help really eliminate a lot of extra prospecting time.
When you were out in LA, like, so you guys sold out basically, mm-hmm. like, do they let you go right away or were you able to find something before? Like,
you know, they were just so professional. I mean, Corey and that team was just like, you know, obviously they're legends in the industry. So, you know, they obviously had a plan for themselves and the department. You know, how they were going to, you know, take this to the sellout, and they had an action plan from there. And, Larry Friedman is the, CEO of LAFC and, you know, just, I knew the whole time that they would take care of us, you know, and they did, you know, I had multiple opportunities, set up through them, you know, through their contacts, well before, you know, the time was, you know, they gave me us plenty of notice. So it was a great situation and knew I was looking to get closer to home and back to the East Coast. So, and both of them had ties out there. And it was just such a smooth transition. And I'm just blessed for just having that time to be able to go out there and leave without any, you know, major, you know, like hiccups with, you know, having to have a messy relocation or, you know, like cutting a role last minute. They gave me plenty of heads up. And, you know, we knew the writing was on the wall. And I was there to help until they needed me. But when they told me the time was up, I was like, no worries. Like I'm ready to go. Like, cause, you know, there's not much more commission here for me. And like,
it's
you know,
a little expensive out there, you know?
Right. And look, if there's not a next step that is perfect for me that you guys see, like, I want to go look for something that, you know, fits my next step or what I'm looking for. And, I had opportunities to stay there. They just were in roles that I wasn't necessarily, I didn't see as my next step. So it would have been just to stay around with a great group of people and work for a club. And I knew that was the wrong decision for me, but I there was a lot of temptation to just stick around just to be a part of that franchise going into their first year. Cause it was just, you could see it was going to be just something special. And many of us didn't get to see that first game, and I still have yet to go to a game, but I need to get out there. That's more on me than them. So, it is really cool. And it was a great time.
So how'd you end up with the Magic then?
Yeah. So Randy and I think Wills, who is now with the Miami Open through Hard Rock State, yep. And okay. With the, I think it's owned by the Dolphins or in association with the Dolphins. But he's such a great guy. And he worked under Corey Bretton, who's now with Legends, in Atlanta. Corey was his inside sales manager. So Randy was looking for two people out here, and me and Cooper Fair, who is still with us here and a good buddy of mine, who was with the Kings. We both were hired and, I had multiple people at LAFC who helped me, set a gap of, letting them know who I was and what I was about. And so Randy and I, worked together and brought, Cooper and I were really a team that Randy brought in, and, we had a great time, selling in Orlando. It was a little bit of a tougher market than, say, L.A. and the momentum we had there. But, obviously an established brand and, with a saturated market, all the tickets are kind of accounted for. We did a really good job. So it was a great, smooth transition to a beautiful city of Orlando. And, it's good.
How big is the premium sales department with Orlando?
It's just three of us. So was Randy. On top, and then Cooper and me, and then Kelly Griffiths, who's been there for probably close to, I think, 10 years or so, close to that. And she's just a legend. I mean, she's a $1 million producer year in, year out. A mom, just an incredible individual, premium sales rep, to kind of set your goals towards. And Kelly is a mentor to us. She's like, helps us keep us in line. Joke, and get a little off tangent sometimes. So Kelly helps reel us into reality, and also help us kind of with that institutional knowledge. So there's three of us on the team. Chuck, now that Randy's kind of moved up and on, is overseeing premium as well, but he's also the director of ticket sales, doing dual role now.
Okay. Nice. So what you mentioned a little bit of the technology that you use, is there anything else that you use to help either prospect or close?
Yeah, for sure. We've put a really strong emphasis into technology, moving really quickly now, especially, we just invested into ReplyBuy, which is a texting platform. We had used ZipWhip for a while and haven't changed for various reasons, but, that tool is great. So that's for texting, using a landline, adapting a text platform to it. Just so when you make that phone call out of the office, you can have some text back and it not, go nowhere. And also you can shoot somebody a note. But I think moving forward, we're working on some changes as well. But ZoomInfo is big for prospecting. I use LinkedIn Sales Navigator. You were about to say something.
No, I was just going to say on the texting platform, is that more for like one-on-one texting, or is that more for like group mass text?
No, the ReplyBuy platform and ZipWhip have some pretty great functions to it. We have a rep on our team who uses that very well, and is very active in text. So we have multiple reps who do that very well. You can run campaigns. You can build a list of contacts. I think the one we use now, ReplyBuy, it merges with our CRM, our Dynamics 365, so that we can merge contacts and track things without having to, load up CRM and put a note in, the double accounting that we're all so used to doing. So that helps. And I think the further we can move towards, one kind of integrated platform that combines mobile calls, on computer calls, texting, something that I can pick up from my phone, my computer. There's the next $1 million idea. I don't know. Somebody's got to be doing that. But, I think that's the future, is living on the same platform, being able to Zoom, text, call, from the same source. Like, if we'd be a lot better off, the sooner we can get to that, as an industry.
Yeah. What is anything kind of in Orlando work differently or better than say LA or Memphis? Have you noticed anything different even between the three markets?
I think just in Orlando, it's been more about being creative. I mean, obviously, you know, you have your stuff that just comes in or comes your way. But you know, outside of that, it's not a market where, you know, people are, businesses are necessarily lining up at the door to grab the next suite that's available. You know, we have a lot of inventory. We have a lot of not inventory. Sorry, we have a lot of interest in our events and a lot of great lineup of shows and whatnot. But a smaller market, you know, just doesn't have as much fish to go after. But I've been using referrals and just, you know, looking for the right types of companies that can use it and not spend 2 years with us and then bounce, you know, just as, hey, this is something I want to do, thought about doing. I've been trying to focus on companies that are going to be with us long-term, and there's a great real estate market here. A lot of depth within that market with, you know, title insurance and these different kind of segments within that I found some success in, and they refer business well together, and they like to mingle and get together often, and hopefully that doesn't change when everything gets back to normal. But it's been a great outlet for me, and they believe in products and believe in salespeople in a way that I think is worked for me in my career. You know, I think just being able to get on someone's good side and build a relationship, build rapport more so, and then, you know, show value. And I think a lot of people struggle to show value. I pride myself showing value, and if you don't buy into my value, to walk away quickly, because at that point, I'm not looking to be your friend. I'm looking to be, you know, your sales rep. So it's more important than ever to make a compelling offer. And then if it's not a fit, walk away, because you can be stuck, you know, in the friend zone, if you will, you know, with people who like the magic, want a part of the games, but may not, you know, be able to use it for their whole business. Well, no, I,
but yeah,
for sure. On a company note, I'd say definitely if you were using it solely for business, I'd say, yeah, no, this is not a fit. And I think that's where Orlando is tricky. It's like most of the companies can't use it a full suite all year, you know, but, with enough personal interest, Andrew, you could be able to, no, just kidding. No, but with enough personal interest, anybody can be a fit for having half and half. Yeah. Hey, I use this for myself, but then I throw it at my business in a way that helps grow my, you know, my referral base or whatnot. And I found that in Orlando, it's not about those big marquee companies like you'd see, like I did in LA. It was like, all right, who are the big players? Who has the suites elsewhere? Mm-hmm. And I was able to knock out, okay, nobody's talking to these guys. I don't know why he's talking to these guys. I'm going to talk to these guys, you know, like where everybody's talking to those guys. I'm going to have to find either ones that aren't, that people forgot about for a little bit, ones that newer, flying under the radar. Been a good one, because that money moves and changes so quickly.
Do you do, as part of kind of what you sell, do you sell like individual, you know, game nights for suites, like, just, or is that suites, a different department?
Yep, for group rentals, or sorry, group outings, 10 or more tickets is the minimum. So we can pretty much do any bulk ticket package of more or less 10 or more, in a package of 10 or more, or games, or so really it's anything less than five or six events is if that start to, or five or six tickets, it's like, all right, we got, go ahead and jump on Ticketmaster and grab it. So 10 game packs for partial plans, group outings of 10 or more, and then suite rentals. So basically any suite transaction we can handle, even on a one-off, because it's technically 20 people, you know, automatically. So that's a big part of my business as a premium sales rep is, you know, just more transactional rentals sometimes, but, you know, that may have to change. I mean, we may not see as much of that leading up to the season, or we may see more of it because people want to get in those suites and stay safe.
So, in private.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, this could go either way. And, you know, we're starting to realize that people are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel as far as, well, I don't want to miss out. You know, I don't want to be that guy who doesn't have that ticket to the first game when all my employees are like, man, I would love to go to that Magic game. But we're also not trying to be brash and push too hard to give people the sense of that, hey, it's going to be better when we're not experts on this by any means.
Yeah. No, and I think finding that balance, that's how we had success up in Virginia was, you know, you had to know where you can push and where you can't. And, but like you just said, people didn't want to miss out. So our sales team really did an amazing job. Even during COVID, the first 2 weeks, I don't think we did anything because we were trying to figure out what the hell was going on.
Right.
And then we just started kind of like, you know, brainstorming sessions. We invited other people from other teams onto our sales Zoom calls. And we kind of came up with the approach of you have to identify if they're able to be closed now, or right, if we just set up a meeting for 60 days from now or 30 days or whatever that is. But we did it as two ways. Number one is nobody wanted to lose their job. So we wanted to make sure that everyone was personally producing. And me as the sales leader, I wanted to make sure everybody was exceeding expectations.
Sure.
And then number two is we got to continue to build the pipeline, right, because that's where some teams I worry about now, where some teams are out there and they're, you know, reaching out to current customers and ticket holders, but what are they doing to continue to build the pipeline? And, you know, cause once the pipeline is dried up, it just takes a few more months to build it back up.
Yeah.
And so the teams that are staying on top of it now, I think are going to come out a lot better than, you know, the others. So
it's tough, man. I mean, I have to remind myself every day that like, this is what you signed up to do, like fearlessly into the unknown and, you know, put yourself out there and say stuff and not know whether it's going to work. And, you know, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And there was a while there when I, you know, got that sense of call fatigue, that feel like, man, I really don't want to go back out there. I don't even know what we're going to hear. And we all felt it. And it was good to be able to, even though working from home felt like we're, you know, stuck in a vacuum or a silo, you know, we're able to reach out, use Teams, use whatever to talk to people. Like, dude, are you feeling this too? Like, Kelly, are you feeling this too? And, you know, we all had the same sentiment and just kind of reminded myself, all right, just get through these calls, you know, just make a number, set a number and do it. Like, you know, and what I found was 80%, 90% of the calls were positive, and which was nowhere near what I thought. And obviously not sales, but, you know, like to the point where it's like, wow, I'm glad I at least talked to that guy, or, you know, at least I know I have a opportunity to go back and they've given me a hand raise as far as like, yeah, I could consider that. And some of those have turned into deposits, you know, and some of those have turned into, man, I'm definitely not going to consider that yet. Like,
yeah,
talking soon. I was talking about like, not this year, you know, like, so like oh, okay. Well, I think for me, it's been like, don't assume. Cause like for me, I do get in a sense of like trying to think ahead and like that helps me on the B2B side. Cause I can, you know, plan my next punch and stuff. When next comment, maybe make a value statement. But, you know, if you're trying to convince yourself this is not going to be a good call, that's where you start losing the battle. That's where I kind of knock my head a little bit, be like, all right, get yourself back to being, you know, no matter what, just make the calls, you know, and that's, it's tough.
Sometimes though, a no is better than being left no man's land. I mean, it's like, just tell me no, so I can get over this. But no, I mean, you know, it's a grind. So outside, what was the event that I attended? What was that? What do you guys call that?
I love talking about that because it's something that they do well here. And I think it's probably a better way to answer your question earlier about our process in Orlando, but very event driven, you know, more so than anywhere I've been. Although in LA, we did a good job of it because but we didn't have many events. So Orlando is they do Chuck and the team here, they do a great job of just lining up event after event after event for us to push to new people. Like people were coming into the pipeline for, give them a cool opportunity, show them something special. And then worst case scenario, you know, it's inventory that maybe we have, or it's a game that we may have access to, some inventory that was left behind or whatnot. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to leverage some content to get our message across. And as you can see, you know, we do a good job of making it content first and then just making sure you know why you're here, you know, and you're here to consider a plan with the Magic. And if not, you know, let us know. And, you know, we'll be sure to, you know, send you the Ticketmaster and whatnot, you know, but like, and for us, it's an easy conversation. For you, we didn't find a fit that night, but that's fine. And I know that was more of a timing thing than like, Andrew's never going to buy a ticket for me, where some people you get in front of and you're like, all right, they're telling me everything. They're all the right thing. And those events, so it's a great to be able to just get in front of someone. And I just value that. We did a good job in Memphis at the end of my time there, we did halftime events. And I think they probably tweaked that as time went on. But we did it. We do a great job with these pregame events. It does take a little bit to get somebody to the arena a little early. And for some B2B contacts, it can be tough. But just having that outlet to go to on a call or on a first meeting, we'll say, hey, tickets on me, food and drink, come to the game, listen to Bo Outlaw or Nick Anderson or Lloyd or assistant GM speak. And you know, at the very least, you'll enjoy a game and hear us out. And I wouldn't want to say it's following that timeshare model because we're not like, you know.
You're not pushy about it. Like, I mean, that's what I respected about you is, like, you weren't, like, smothering us. You were not, like, hardcore. And that's what I like. Some people maybe need pushed, but mm-hmm. I go the opposite. If I get pushed, then it's like a that's a no. Like that's,
For me, it's just like I'm going to ask for the deal. Like at some point, like and that's the thing is. But I'm not going to if you say no or if I know it's not there. It's just better to just if for me. I just personally, it's easier to just say, hey, let me come back. This and look, I'm with you. Like it's better to get a good conversation, understand someone's like goals and what their focus is. And if you can't line that up, it may not be, but it may just be, hey, that those goals aren't lined up right now. And they may 6 months from now, like I'm one of those people who I'm not quick to drop a conversation. I know where somebody is smoking mirrors, but if you're real with me and like, hey, this is not good timing for me. I don't think this is a great fit or, hey, I can feel it in your voice that, hey, you're not going to move forward tonight. Then, you know, like it is what it is. Like,
yeah. I mean, you gotta push, but you gotta read your, you know, your potential client. Like, are they, you know, and you asked a lot of the good questions and, you know, presented well and all that stuff. You know, convincing the wife, you know, was the challenge.
It's always a struggle.
And so we were struggling with, well, do we go two or four, three? And we wanted to definitely be in the club area that has the food and drink.
The Legend Suite. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the Legend Suites are great. But then what threw me off was, I think, the concerts and everything else. So in my mind, I was thinking, okay, if I got three of those seats for 42 NBA games, it would be X. Correct. But then it was really what, like – double maybe.
Yeah, it's gonna be. It was, you know, we have about 50 concerts a year, so.
Yeah, so it's a big package. So
130 events a year sometimes with that.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, you know. And you guys got some great events there too. So right. It wouldn't be that I wouldn't like those events. Budget wise, it was.
And it I think wasn't. It was. That's a fit, yeah, because like you know, if you guys are 200 employees and you know you have you know all these reasons and excuses, yeah,
you could use 100 events.
Exactly. Like if you have, you know, a bunch of employees who you know, are from Columbia and we have a Colombian artist here, like, you know, give them a suite for the night or whatnot, you know? So it just becomes difficult to manage some of those full list packages on a personal note, unless you're living downtown in an apartment. It's
like, you're just, I'm a fan, but not that big.
But. We don't sell a lot of individuals, but we, you know, they do, they're great for a company who may have no reason to have 16 seats every event, but four is perfect. Yeah. And to have food and beverage mixed in with included is it takes all the budgeting and extra costs out of it. So I'm one of the things I love about what we do is we do have that. I can always shift. Every product makes sense for a certain situation. Yeah. And I know it's a good fit. And if you were gung ho about it, like we may have made that deal happen that night. Like you're like, dude, I'm going to come to all the shows, but it didn't line up. Like and we have a Legends Flex package that will roll out in October that may be a better fit where you can pick 10 or we haven't finalized it yet, but traditionally it's you pick 10 Magic games, a couple of Solar Bear games, the hockey games, and then five concerts. And then you pick them, you pay much lower than market price and have your two or four seats locked in for those events and food, beer, and wine. You're having to do, you know, a six-figure or a five-figure deal and, you know, like,
well, it's manageable.
Year.
It's manageable. I don't have to give out the tickets. Like for like me, I would use them, you know, small business or just family. So that sounds more appealing than the 100 events. But yeah, I mean, that's part of sales, right? Is just identifying, you know, the needs and the wants. So outside of the event that I was at, do you guys do any other type of events like that for lead
generation? Yeah. So right now it's been a big focus on virtual events. So we've done pretty much weekly events with content producers within our content producers, more so Matt Lloyd is our AGM. He does a good job at these events. He's been on one. We've had some former players, coaches, whatnot, just people who our fans want to hear from. People have insight into stuff we don't have. And we've been doing virtual happy hours, if you will. So 5:30 on Thursday, you know, sign in here. You're going to hop on a Zoom call just like this. You won't be able to have your video up or talk, but, you know, you can watch Dante Marcatelli, who's our reporter and works for Fox Sports South, who's great. He's a great guy. And, you know, a player or coach or Matt Lloyd, just chopping it up, talking back and forth, asking questions. Dante does a great job of leading the interviews and keeping it entertaining. And then we'll have maybe a small call to action. At first, it was very little, thanking a new season ticket holder, welcoming a new family. But now we've really ramped it up and added a, you know, full sales message. Dante's pitching product out here, pretty much like us. He's got a sales degree now to go along with everything else. So you know, it's great to have the support from not only the people who are supposed to be selling, but people who typically aren't selling, who are coming up like Matt and Dante and saying, hey, like, I want to be a part of this. I want to help you guys make sales. And, right. You know, giving us hour a week of time. And he's the assistant GM. He's supposed to be looking at college players to scout. Like, he's got a key job, and he's given us, you know, 4 hours a month of his time just to talk about his career, you know, just like I am, but people care a lot more about his career for sure. So we're doing those, and that's been our model. And I think we've just kind of adapted it to the coronavirus setting. So we did that like you went to during the season, pregame. We did a locker room tour. I was able to close a loge box at that event. It was a great fit. You know, a company I would have never gotten in front of otherwise. I was able to set up an opportunity for her and her two sons to come out and tour the locker room and play basketball on the practice court and meet CEO Alex Martins and talk to Jonathan, have a sit down with Jonathan Isaac in the locker room and ask questions. And it was such a special night for them. And I mean, just for me, it's cool to be there and then to be able to, you know, bring a new business into the family and who, you know, plan on being with us for a long time. It was great. And they do a great job of getting those ready. Even in coronavirus, they've been setting us up, teeing us up week after week with events. And I'm sure my single game prospects are probably sick of hearing from me about it, but it's given me something to do. It's not like I'm sitting there every week like, man, how am I going to drive any urgency? Like, how am I going to get people to talk to me? Yeah. With something to talk about all the time.
Yeah. We started up here. It worked out. It was building is we did like a monthly networking event, B2B.
That's great.
And we invited current partners, and then we invited, you know, basically I had all our sales rep invite anybody on the fence with them. Mm-hmm. And they were really starting to build. And then, you know, COVID hit and,
yes,
you know, we changed up. During COVID, what we did is we switched up and we started doing Zoom stadium tours. So we were building a new stadium here, and so nobody could really come out and see it. So, we would do that for each rep. Myself and the rep would do like a live tour, and it really built momentum
up to
when we could do stuff. So, I mean, there's definitely ways to get creative, and I mean, you guys have been doing it great. I love your win a sponsorship deal. I mean, it's such a great way to generate leads.
I think that's how we connected, actually.
I think so. Yes. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to give me a sponsorship. I kind of was like figuring that was what it was. And I wanted to learn more about the thing. Yeah. It was like, so that you came out, you know, for somebody that won, I think they invited us out to mm-hmm. see the winner. But it was such a genius idea. And I'm sure you got a ton of leads and those people associated.
I'll deflect all credit here because this is like, that was a 100% sponsorship initiative, but somebody on our side, I don't know who it is, they're probably on LinkedIn. Hopefully they watch this video to take credit for it, but decided that they were going to funnel all the leads that didn't work out to us. And it may have been forethought from the beginning, but you know, one day you come in and I just have a 20, 30, these United Healthcare small business spotlight. Yep. contacts. And, you know, these people want to hear from us. You know, they're Magic fans. They're excited. They have businesses they want to promote. And that's it. I mean, Sean Graham, that great trainer. I don't know if you ever worked with Sean, the English guy.
Okay. He's a
character. His big thing was, you know, look for companies that are marketing or hiring, because, you know, they're growing, they're expanding, they're looking to grow their business. And they're
exactly.
Yes. And I know that's broad in general, but I mean, he's right. At the end of the day, if you're not trying to expand your business, you're not open to, you know, change and new stuff. And these people are obviously, they didn't walk into the advertising office and ask to spend money on an ad, you know, like that somebody. So long story short, you know, I wanted to focus on that. So, but yeah, our goal was to make sure that we could create opportunities for fans and people to come out, and also use the sponsorship spotlight program to, you know, have some leads in the funnel. So it was great for me, but I didn't think anything of it. We didn't hear anything about it until it came. And I've got some great connections to that. You obviously probably the best one. And you know, I've had some awful meetings.
The best one who hasn't bought.
Yeah. I've had some awful meetings. Like I think I went to a septic company in Orlando and you know, sat in the office for 15 minutes and they actually, she's like, I actually didn't want to set this meeting. You just forced me into it. I'm like, so I've had some bad, but you know, that's the thing. There are opportunities and there are companies I would not found otherwise, because, you know, hand raising is I think so important. And the more we can work together from departments to do that. And obviously they did a great job sponsorship and just getting us involved and giving us an opportunity that we wouldn't have had otherwise. But it's funny you mentioned that, because I knew that, I thought that was what it was, but
yeah, I thought maybe that was, I wasn't sure, but I
they would know better. I didn't know anything about the problem was. And I think the one thing I could have done better is learn more about the actual promotion before, because I was making those calls like, oh, you signed up to have your name. And they're like, what? Like, no, I signed up for this. I'm like, oh God. Like I just got to book a list of leads and I'm just like making calls about a program I've never even heard of.
No, it's good. I really love what you guys do there. I think you got a bright future. I think, you know, you're going to do man. Well. Hopefully one day we'll be working together, because I will be working in the NBA one day. So,
yeah. Hey.
But
it'd be fun, man. Hey, I love to grind with you, man. There's nothing better than competition and selling with people that you can get along with. And
yeah. Yeah, no, I want to thank you for joining me. I mean, I have a lot more I want to ask you, but we'll go to lunch sometime.
Yeah,
for sure. When I get back down next week. So,
yeah, man, I appreciate the opportunity to tell my story. And, you know, I'm very happy here with the Magic, and we have a great team. But, you know, I just, you know, I'm curious and love to learn. And, you know, I also appreciate your time and your feedback, because, you know, you got a valuable experience in this industry. And I think I'll be asking a few more questions than I did this time. So I look forward to that.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Hey, podcast fans, thanks for listening to today's episode of The Andrew Haynes Show. If you enjoyed it, be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and reach out to Andrew on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time.